Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lee and Haley Overtime, the podcast. I'm Lee Cruz, along with Haley Harmon.
Hello, everyone. I'm sipping on a delicious cup of decaf coffee with sugar-free hazelnut creamer. Lee, what are you sipping on?
Caffeinated coffee.
The hard
with,
stuff.
With hazelnut creamer.
Yeah, Lee buys delicious hazelnut creamer. That's your favorite kind of creamer, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
You and my dad. And that's true.
Really?
That's true. My dad loves hazelnut. Lee thinks I've lied to him about my dad one time recently, and he talked about it on the show, about a habit he has that I never said he had. Lee just misunderstood. But anyway, hazelnut is my favorite. So anyway, sipping on this today.
And that habit was cocaine.
Lee swears I said my dad had never touched it, but I later said, oh, he's obsessed with
it. And because of that, I've had a five-year addiction to it. Every time I would snort a line. Is that how they do it?
Yeah.
I would think to myself,
this is for you, Perry.
This is what Perry's doing.
Sure, sure. My dad did grow up in South Florida in the, you know, 60s and 70s. I don't think he ever did cocaine, but he's shared with it. You know, back, you know, South Florida beach boys.
I've never done that kind of activity. And
me
I would
neither.
Be
I'm terrified.
Terrified.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I mean, because it's a death sentence if some idiot has laced it with fentanyl.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to try that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you get addicted, you got to have it. What do they call it? A bump? I need a bump.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I couldn't do it. Mm. I'd be like, well, this is it. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's pretty much, yes, A, fear of law enforcement catching me. Yes, fear of addiction.
I got to be honest with you.
But really, the reason I've never really done drugs is, never done drugs, period, is because fear of immediate
You've
death.
You've never done a gummy?
Oh, well, that doesn't count for me.
Oh.
Like, I think pot or THC, I feel like now we've all moved forward a little
You've
bit.
You've never done anything, here's what I think you mean, where it was invasive, meaning I had to snort it or shoot it.
Or taking a pill, though, like, you know, taking something. I've never done anything but pot. And the times I've done pot was like three times in my
I've
whole life.
I've never done anything either.
I've done some gummies and then I think I've like smoked pot twice.
But you didn't inhale.
Your Honor. But I didn't like the experience. It made me feel
out of control.
No, I just didn't like it. Like some people just love that feeling that any kind of drug gives you. Like, but I guess it's maybe because I'm incredibly experienced. Like, I'm talking those three or four times I've done it is over my 37 years of life. So I'm just not experienced. So it just felt weird to me.
So you're inexperienced.
I'm inexperienced. And so I think that's mainly the reason I didn't like it. And so it's just not something I seek out. But I mean, same thing when you start.
Well, I'm not around it either. I'm not around people who do that.
Me neither. And I mean, it's very now, you know, it's much more. I mean, it's always been around. But now, especially, you know, in places that it's legal and then.
I've been around the people that like the pot. I've been around those people.
Could you sound more old? I've been around the people that like the pot.
You're the dope.
Well, yeah. Friends that have, you know, gummies now are everywhere. Everybody's got gummies.
Mm. Yeah. It's not quite legal here, though, yet.
It's not legal at all.
It is in some states.
I know. Where we live in Kentucky, it's not legal.
If you get a medical card, I believe it is now.
But, Lee, that's not the same as being recreational. We are meaning recreationally.
No, I only do it for my back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's medicinal, Miss Katie. I'm sorry. That is one of my favorite lines. Katie Couric was interviewing Lil Wayne. Mm. And it was for, like, some big interview. It was like, you know how.
Lil Wayne speaks out.
Yeah, no. I think it could have just been a one-off interview because when he was like at his peak of popularity. But I think it was one of those. Remember when Barbara Walters, she did her like, what was the 20 most fascinating people or whatever it is. And then I think Katie Couric had taken over. It was something along those same lines, interviewing celebrities. And she's interviewing him and she says, like, this was before it got legalized recreationally in more and more states. And she said, I hear, you know, something to the effect of, you know, and we all know. Mm-hmm. You like to smoke weed or whatever like that. And his response was, medicinal, Miss Katie. And medicinal, I love it so much. And it's just perfect. Medicinal,
I like
Miss
Lil
Katie.
Wayne. I like, what's the Mrs. Officer? Is that his song? I like that.
Oh, I don't know.
He does
know.
That, doesn't he, Lil Wayne? Makes the siren noise. Ooty-ooty-ooty.
I don't know. I've met Lil Wayne.
You have?
Yeah.
He is little, too,
I shook
isn't
his
he?
Hand. And I remember thinking,
isn't he like tiny?
He's tiny. He's very petite. And I met him, and it's when I was in college, and I met him backstage at the Country Music Awards. And he was there presenting.
Oh, yeah, Lil Wayne was.
Huh? Yeah, he was there. And then he and his whole like crew were leaving backstage, and I just ran up and I just said, Lil Wayne, I want to meet you. And he turned around and walked back down the stairs and shook my hand. And I literally was like, that's when he was the guy. Right. Like, even now, he's kind of the guy to me. I love Lil Wayne. But back then, it was like, that was the guy.
I like Lil Wayne.
I do too. Medicinal Miss Katie. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about, because this is the first podcast episode we've recorded since I shared the big news on our TV show last Friday. Guys, if you're listening, the reason I'm drinking decaf is because, so excited to finally share, I'm pregnant. My husband Matt and I are expecting a baby boy this September. And I'm feeling pretty good. So excited to finally have it out there. It's been very difficult to keep it a secret this long.
Why is that?
I just want it. It's hard to
big.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's been hard to keep, like, it's been a 5-month secret. So it's hard to, because
I mean, your ass got huge.
Sure. Well, but I've been squatting like so much.
But you don't look big.
Well, thank you.
You know who was amazing pregnant? Who? Kristen Flum, a lady that we worked with. I swear to God, you'd see that. She was 9 months and from behind. Not that I would ever look. She looked,
reports came back from those who
she
had.
Looked no different.
Seriously.
Until she turned around, it was like an optical illusion.
That's the dream. They call those basketball bellies. She looks like she swallowed a basketball.
Yes.
And that's it.
And then and then the day after she gives birth, she's doing Victoria's swimsuit issue.
Not that I would look. No, Kristen Flum is the dream. The dream.
You can say that again.
The dream in all aspects, but especially during pregnancy. Yeah. So in answer to your question of why it was hard to keep it a secret, I mean, in my private life, it's all I'm talking about with my friends and family and all that, but then I'd come to work.
So you thought you'd get a leak?
No. I would just find myself accidentally talking about it. And then weeks ago, I finally got to share with Lee and our whole staff. And so that was a relief, because I'd come to work and not be able to talk about it behind the scenes and certainly not on TV. But so it was a huge relief to finally be able to talk to the whole team about it. But then finally on air, it's nice to explain, like, here's why I'm wearing so many loose outfits these days. And here's why my boobs are huge. I tell you what.
Let's not get carried away.
Huge for me.
No.
Huge for me. Now, that's when I finally told everybody. Bridget and Nikita had both said, we did notice you looked a little more...
Busty.
I said, thank you.
I saw this meme. A grandmother walks up to her granddaughter. Says, hey, I want to tell you something that's going to knock your boobs right off. Oh, it looks like you've heard it already.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. I love that, actually. Yeah, so anyway, sorry, that might be a little overshare for everybody, but hey, it's part of the experience. That was one of my first body changes I did experience. And I think
boob
that's pretty,
growth.
Yes, where all of a sudden I was like, I texted my whole family one day, I just need everyone to know I now possess the breasts of a complete stranger. It's crazy. All the body changes.
Man, that would be great if guys could have something like that.
Like what?
Growth.
If you're going through a certain change. Oh, okay.
Let's just say that you're getting older.
Okay.
And all this, right now, the only thing we got is ears and nose that grow.
Oh, yeah.
Like that never stops growing. And prostate. Why can't we have other phalanges grow?
Sure.
I tell you what, that good Lord's got a sense of humor, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Just laughing himself silly.
Giggle, giggle, giggle. We said the other day, we were driving to a shoot and we passed a field of goats, and we said God giggled when he created the fainting goat. He was like, this is going to be so good. This is going to thrill my sweet little humans I created.
Yeah, I'm not sure he created the fainting goat. That may be a derivative of sin in the fall of mankind.
This sounds like it's going to be an uplifting conversation.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe we've had fainting goats from the beginning. But I don't know. It seems like a chromosomal defect.
Sure.
Because it's not a good survival mechanism where anytime you're frightened, you just pass out.
Mm-hmm. So I was reminded of a story. So I went home to visit my family in Tennessee for Easter weekend, and we were at lunch, and a friend of my brother's, one of his absolute best friends, just got married a few weeks ago. And it reminded us of one of our favorite stories. So this is jumping off of the fainting goat. So his dad's family was very colorful. Just like he would, like he had aunts and stuff, just like people that you could always tell a story about. They were always doing something funny. And he had this one aunt, Aunt Becky.
Yes.
Smoked, drank,
chewed,
lived her life. Lovely woman at her core, but just so funny. She smoked, drank, did whatever, wore a bottle black wig that she'd put on, but never really straight. Mm-hmm. So she'd pop it on to go to the grocery store, but it was always like the part would be over here smoking. Well, her favorite thing to do, she'd read the obituaries every week. And she liked to go show support, whether she knew the deceased or not, at their funeral. If she knew the people, it was a real show. If she didn't know them, it was an even bigger show. Her favorite thing to do was to go to these funerals, go up to the casket, and as her family described it, she'd swoon. She'd fall out.
Oh, wow.
She'd faint.
Like, who's this lady?
From grief.
Yeah.
She didn't know these people at all.
Right. So that she would just get her kicks out of that.
She would get her kicks out of it and maybe be like, I just, in case this person wasn't loved, I need some people here to know, well, they were loved by me.
So she was doing it for altruistic reasons, not for to get attention.
I think both.
Yeah.
I think both. But so she, you know, so that was part of the human condition. And yeah, she was the fainting goat of the funeral business. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he, you know, my brother's friend's dad said she did it all the time. Hmm. All the time. She would go to every funeral she could and fall out. They would call it swooning. She'd go and swoon. She'd fall out.
Would she lay on the body?
No, not on the body, but she'd pass out in the floor in front of the casket or just kind of
nearby.
He's
gone.
I can't believe it. He's gone.
She's going to get shot doing that.
Why would she get shot?
Well, because there's going to be some widow who thinks...
Who's
I knew
this
it.
Woman with a bad wig?
Because maybe there was a rumor, and now she's confirmed the suspicion.
Oh, Becky with the good hair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Sorry, that worked out so good. Your Beyonce, the line from the Lemonade album, Becky with the good hair. This is Becky, Aunt Becky with the bad wig. Yeah. Becky with the good hair. Would you ever do that? Go make a scene at a place where no one knows you?
I do think it would be fun to go in a mascot outfit and, you know, just sit there.
Sure.
Dressed like the Chicago Bull or something.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And not, you know, as the rule is, I'm not allowed to speak anyway as a mascot.
That's true.
They're like, how did you know? Through motion. So I would just sit there with my head down.
Would you fall out?
Like, no, I wouldn't fall out.
I love it. Well, anyway, so that's been my big news, and it's been very exciting. And so now we're finally, because it's out there, getting to do a lot of fun pregnancy-related content on the show. Mm-hmm. Like we did a pregnancy cravings segment the other day. We looked up some of the most common pregnancy cravings, and we tried them, one of which you really
loved.
Liked.
Shocked. Yeah, so typical pickles and ice cream. Because I've heard about that one forever.
Yeah, pickles. You vanilla ice cream with pickles. Then another was
bacon and chocolate.
Bacon and chocolate.
Which was not bad.
Not bad. Pickles and peanut butter. Put a little dip
of
peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, we did that. Which,
pretty
that
good.
Was okay. But the one that I love, you didn't care for, but I loved it, was, and I had no idea how it would work, but when they suggested it, I still thought, this is interesting. Let's see where it goes. Soy sauce on a banana. And I'm telling you, I loved it. The salty soy sauce on the banana, the texture was perfect. Everything about it, I was like, what? This is amazing.
Yeah.
I would do that at home.
See, I didn't hate it, but I did not want a second bite. Like, no. I was like, okay. Like, fine.
I wanted to get, like, a little dipping tray of soy sauce and just dip the banana and eat it that way. So good.
Yeah, a lot of people like to put salt on fruit. Like salt on watermelon is a big thing. But you like to put salt on any fruit.
All the fruit and vegetables. There's nothing I don't put salt on.
That's true.
You know, honestly, there is nothing I wouldn't put salt on that would not enhance it. Because I was thinking, well, maybe there's some desserts. That's not true. Think about ice cream when it's a little salty, like caramel sea salt.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
It's perfect. I don't remember when salted caramel became a thing. I did not like it. It was weird for me. And then now, love it. Any kind of salted caramel dessert.
Salt is everything.
Salt is everything.
And it's weird that we love salt so much because all it is rocks. It's just a rock.
It is just a rock. N-A-C-O.
And you just bust it down.
Mm-hmm. But God gave it to us for flavor.
Yeah. And preservation.
And preservation. Horses love it.
That's why I'm going to live forever.
You're going to live forever.
I'm brined.
You have been brining from the inside out for so long. Well, anyway, how's your health? I'm creating a human being over here. What the heck are you even doing?
Do I have a rash?
Yeah, did you get waxed?
Oh, didn't fool you, huh?
No, because I know you get basically from south of your Mason-Dixon all the way up, you get waxed like once a month. Which is good. You're as slippery as a dolphin.
I like being clean, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the human touch.
And you fear if you're not... Oh, you like from the waxing experience?
That's the only time anyone touches me.
Oh, okay.
And I miss it.
You say, I think you missed a couple up here.
No, I don't say anything. I remain quiet.
Have you gotten... Because you've been doing it a while. I used to get... waxing done, but I haven't in ages, but I'm probably gonna have to what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because of the mustache.
Because of the mustache. No, yeah. Because once my belly gets big,
that
summer will be here.
Things grow in the shade.
And I won't be able to see to take care of it.
You're gonna go in there as a pregnant lady.
I asked my doctor last time I was there, are bikini waxes safe when you're pregnant? She was like, yeah, just make sure the wax isn't too hot.
Well,
and it isn't on there.
That's true whether you're pregnant or not.
Well, yeah, but they were like, we don't want any extreme heat, which hot wax is very hot right where the baby is. You know, and the uterus is down lower.
There's
than you think
plenty
it is.
Of protection there.
Okay, I'm listening to my doctor, not you.
Okay.
And I don't know how many times I have to say this.
See, what happens is doctors, they think they have to give you some sort of guidance when there is absolutely no reason to.
She said, we don't want sustained high heat.
If there is sustained high heat, you won't lay there. You will jump up and go, ow, bitch.
That's what you always say. I'm sorry, that really shocked the hell out of me. Ow, bitch! Anyway, I used to do that back in the day, and then I just stopped.
Just to my point, okay, your doctor feels like I'm giving her value because I just gave her some advice about don't lay there if the wax is too hot.
That's not what she said. She just said don't. It needs to just. She said, we don't want sustained.
All she had to say was, it's fine. You're fine.
Okay, she said, it's fine. You're fine.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. But I still jumped up.
All these caveats. Is there a handgun nearby? Is there a blowtorch? I mean, we don't need any of that. We don't need any of that. I don't know why you get aggravated with me. You brought this into the ether here when you went, I'll listen to my doctor. When all I do is provide common sense to you.
Lee, I didn't come to you with questions about my bikini waxes, okay? I went to her. But honestly, I probably should have gone to you.
Yes.
Because
more knowledgeable?
You do get waxed a lot.
I do it for holidays.
You get waxed from crown to rump.
Yes.
Anyway, okay, but my question to you is, because I'm a little nervous to go back, because I remember when I used to get waxes, it was very painful at first, and then it got easier over time.
It does.
So I was going to say, you've been doing it, but it's still not great.
No.
It's never going to be painless.
No. No, I mean, you're ripping hair out of the follicle.
What do you do when she does the actual rip? Let's say she's right here. Do you go, or do you just go?
I release air.
Like this?
I watched a video the other day, which I hope will be on Talk Block soon because I sent it to Bridget, of a lady in England that has a parrot.
Okay.
It's bedtime, so she covers the parrot, you know.
With like a blanket over the cage?
And she's in bed. The parrot's in there. Well, the bird loves to, while she's trying to sleep, mimic a fart noise.
What?
And the bird's name is Cruz, by the way.
Of course.
So she gets her phone out because she knows he's going to do it. And the lights are out and you're... And she goes, Cruz, stop it. And he doesn't say anything for like... He waits like 30 seconds.
He doesn't say anything. He's a parrot.
Well, no, but he can talk.
But he can talk, yeah.
And he goes... And she goes, stop it with the fart noises. And then you hear the bird go... And it's her laugh that he's mimicking because she's laughing too. And then she goes, I mean it. I'm trying to go to sleep.
Krug, stop it. Is that what your little brother would yell at you when you were children sharing a hotel room or something?
He would yell our last name. Yeah, that's right.
We didn't know who it was coming from. You, your sister, your dad.
No.
Okay, you're telling a story about a fart noise making bird and I'm the crazy one?
I just watched a video. I'm just relaying information.
I watched a hilarious video of a woman and she looks like, I don't know, 50s, 60s, and she works at a library. Mm-hmm. So they thought they'd shoot this creative video where they had all these books lined up. Mm-hmm. Like dominoes. Mm-hmm. And they had her laying flat on a skateboard with her camera.
Oh, I saw this.
And she's rolling forward, getting footage of it as they pull the books out.
Yeah, well, then
they
show,
they show the finished result, and it's her face. She'd shot this way, and it's her going,
ooh-wee. Yeah, she's watching the books go to.
It's like, how sweet.
I saw some guy do that on his trip to France. It's like the dad. Hey, Dad, you're going to shoot the videos. And he's looking around, like he'll spin around. He had it on a.
Like a selfie stick?
A selfie stick. And he's spinning around, but it's just him. But you think you're going to see the Eiffel Tower because you can see it behind him when he spins around.
You think this is going to be so good.
The whole video is that.
I've seen that happen, but it was someone who was supposed to be filming an engagement, like a surprise engagement, and they're videoing. And it's still sweet because they're so happy watching it like, oh.
Now, one of the cutest, most endearing videos is some little boy that was told to shoot his mother dancing. And he just comes alive and his eyes are dancing too.
He's so happy.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was you and your mother?
That was just me going, where are you going?
No, come back.
Just standing there on the road, waiting.
I'm sorry.
And you see the sunset. I'm still out there in the dark.
I don't know why that's tickling me so much now. You make jokes all the time about your mom abandoning you, but that would really kill me. Like she pulled a practical joke on you. She's like, hey, son, film me. Yeah. I'm going to run over here and come back. And she just runs
away. It's a time lapse. And then you see the sun come up.
And your face is just going, come back. Where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you and your mom have repaired your relationship.
Never was damaged that much.
You never saw her for months on end.
Yeah, that's a good way to hang with people.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah. No, we're good.
Good. Sorry. I'm so sorry. That made me laugh so hard. I don't know why. It was just the vision of... Anyway, guys, I'm obsessed with seeing the new movie, The Accountant 2, when it comes out.
I may go Saturday and see it.
I'm available.
Well, you can go.
Well,
I may go with some friends.
I know when I'm not considered a friend.
Well, I haven't seen you yet. I just decided to do it.
What do you mean?
Last night, I decided to do it. I thought, yeah, let's go do that.
Let's go do that. I'm going to buy, what theater are you going to? What row? I'm going to buy seats right behind you and throw popcorn at your noggin. And yell, Cruz, stop. I'm going to make fart noises.
You can go if you want to go.
I'm just kidding. I think I'm going to go see it anyway. I, too, have friends that I've discussed seeing it with.
You do not. We all know that.
It's that original AOL chatbot from back in the day that you could just...
Pope died. Did you hear?
Yeah, Leah, yeah. I heard. Okay, this is horrible. So, you know, God bless the faithful that followed him, the Catholics, and you know, it's a huge loss, absolutely.
But not the Greek Orthodox.
All right, well.
Screw you guys. Okay. Splitters.
No. Anyway, it's very bad, but there's the movie, you know, the whole thing where the cardinals come together to elect the next pope is called the Conclave.
In the Conclave.
Well, you know, the movie came out last Oscar season.
Up in smoke. I saw the movie, Cheech and Chong. Yeah, there it is.
Sure. Well, the movie that was Oscar nominated called Conclave that came out just last year with Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
Is about the Pope dying and then bringing a conclave together to decide who's the next one.
All the cardinals.
So I saw a tweet yesterday that said, fine, I'll watch Conclave. This marketing campaign is getting crazy. was like, oh my gosh.
Have you seen it?
No.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's one of those movies that I feel like it wasn't.
Somebody.
I know, but it was Oscar nominated. And everybody said it was fabulous. And I think Ralph Fiennes was not. I mean, the movie was not Oscar nominated. But I do kind of want to watch it.
A good friend of ours told me The Two Popes is really good. And isn't that Anthony Hopkins? And he plays, starts with a B.
Pope Benedict?
Yes. And then, what's his face, plays Francis. He was a bad guy in The World Is Not Enough or whatever, the James Bond movie.
I don't know.
Yeah. He was also in Glengarry Glen Ross. Mm-hmm. I like that guy. But he played Francis. It's a good debate between them philosophically and what's happened. There are two different approaches and styles and how to handle the retirement and the whole thing.
You know, Pope Francis was sick a long time, but it was still shocking just because he had, you know, been out meeting the public and blessing on Easter Sunday, and then it was just hours later.
Right.
So anyway, yeah. But it'll just be interesting to see. It's quite the secretive process. So
how they vote?
Conclave.
I watched the whole thing on the Catholic Church, a documentary from beginning to end, from St. Peter, literally, who I guess I knew, but I don't think I really understood. He's buried there underneath the cathedral. Peter.
Which one?
Peter. The Peter.
The Peter.
Is buried.
The doubting. No, that was doubting Thomas.
Yeah, that was doubting Thomas.
But Peter denied the Lord three times, didn't he?
Yes. But.
But he didn't get the cool nickname. Upon this rock, Apostle Peter.
And so when you actually say, upon this rock I will build my church, he's there.
What church?
The church. St. Peter's Cathedral.
Oh, St. Peter.
Well, not St. Peter's, but yeah, the Vatican. The Vatican right there.
Well,
or I don't think it's the Sistine Chapel, but it's right there.
Yeah, the Pope.
Maybe it's the Sistine Chapel. I don't know. He's underneath there. Wow. Peter's there. They actually brought him out once.
Wow.
Like part, he's in a box and they brought him out. But that's where he's buried.
Goodness.
Because, you know, he was crucified in Rome.
Yeah.
Upside down, by the way.
That's the thing we don't learn about a lot, especially like in Bible school when I was a kid. We don't really learn too much about what happened to all the apostles. It was like, oh, they gave away everything and followed the Lord. But then most of them died horrific deaths.
Well, yeah, martyred. And that's the validation, whether or not it's true. Most people don't die for a lie.
Yeah.
I don't want to die. If you're lying to me and then you want me to go protect you, I'm not going to take a bullet for you.
Sure. Yeah.
But if it is true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just oftentimes think, not with envy or jealousy, because that's not right, but kind of a longing when I think about like my grandparents who died, who were Christians, or, you know, Pope Francis or whatever. I just think, what must that moment be like as a believer myself when Pope Francis, who served his entire life, is seeing the face of Jesus? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or when, like my grandparents, I think, when they've passed, like, I just think.
The moment of glory.
What a moment. Like. I'm sorry. It's just wild to me. But it's, you know, any person that gets to go to heaven, but certainly those who dedicated their entire lives, I just think, wow, it's.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's got to be.
What was the purpose of life?
Yeah, I just. But
a lot of people think this is sacrilege, but it, just to give it some rudimentary understanding, it's like when you're a child and you're 6 or 7, and you've dreamt about Disney World your entire life, and you get to walk through the gates the first time, and the music and the smells and everything is like, I'm here.
Yeah, this is it. Or Christmas morning.
It's all I've been waiting for.
You're building up to it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then it's finally there. Yeah, yeah, but this is what my whole purpose has been. My whole purpose has been, I've talked about this and prayed and thought about it. Yeah, and now it's here, and I'm here for eternity.
Mm-hmm. But I don't find that comparison sacrilegious, because for crying out loud,
that's all we can compare as humans. We will never comprehend what it's really like until we're there.
But I will tell you this, there's a man named Walt Disney who built that for children.
Yeah.
And for them to be happy, the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
It's commercial.
Did you get that at the Star Wars exhibit?
I did.
I love it.
Although it's very hot in the studio.
It is very hot.
And I'm wearing a hood. Well, so are you. You're wearing a hoodie and a shirt. See, I don't have a shirt underneath.
I think that is so weird.
Wow.
To wear a hoodie with no shirt under
it. Oh, I love it.
I mean, sometimes at night as pajamas, I'll just wear a sweatshirt. But even then, I feel like I got to have a little t-shirt or something on.
No.
Get crazy.
Do you ever wear pants without underwear?
No.
Ever?
No.
So how do you hide panty lines?
Thongs.
They thong, the thong, 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 thong. Oh. I forgot how good that song was.
By Cisco?
Yeah, I saw the movie Y2K, which I didn't like.
Yeah, I can't remember the words.
And the kid in the movie sang the song, and I'm like, wait a minute,
that was
like
a bop. That was a bop.
Actually, pretty good. I saw why it was a hit.
Next time you go to a place where you're forced to do karaoke, will you please sing
the thong song?
The thong song. Up next, Lee Cruz performing The Thong Song by Cisco.
Yes.
Did he ever have anything else?
No.
True one hit wonder.
Yeah.
I love him.
You don't remember the Cisco Kid, do you? Mm-mm. And his sidekick, Poncho.
I remember the Crisco Kid.
Mm. Yeah.
No, are you going to tell me about it?
Well, they were like Saturday morning adventure.
Oh.
Back in the day, Saturday morning serial. So when you'd go to the theater, they would play the Cisco Kid before the main feature back in the day. They were the equivalent, like a Latin, sort of a Latin Lone Ranger Tonto.
Okay.
They would say, oh, Cisco, oh, Poncho. They would say that to each other.
They would? They'd call each other by name?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
But the way they would say it. They'd have something funny happen after they captured the bad guys or whatever.
Oh.
Oh, Cisco, oh, Poncho. Oh, by the way, did we have any? Oh, we did. You know, we have an email for you to read.
What is it?
Well, what do you mean? Where is it? It's in the email section.
You know I'm a compulsive email deleter, so if I had known you wanted me to read it.
Let me find it. By the way, if you'd like to send up, here it is. If you'd like to send us an email and we'll read your response, or if you have a question or comment, it's ideas@leeandhaley.com. You want to read this?
Yeah.
Here, I pulled it up for you.
Okay. Oh, I'm reading it? Oh, I did see this. Okay.
And you deleted it?
That's no, I actually still have this.
Well, read it on your phone then.
Why I like yours? Because it's got this hot couture case on it.
Okay.
This comes from listener Matt Ripito.
Now, he's listening to us from where? Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah, Georgia. Longtime listener.
First time caller.
First of all, Haley, congratulations. I'm a little surprised it wasn't a double announcement because Lee's been showing for a while. Anyway.
Screw you, Matt.
Coming from a split loyalty home like you and Matt, my husband is also named Matt, his wife, Chrissy, being on the dark side as a Florida Gator and me with the light as a Kentucky Wildcat fan, I understand how things can get interesting a few times a year at home. Now, he is referencing that I grew up in Tennessee, so I'm a University of Tennessee Volunteer fan. My husband is a University of Kentucky Wildcat fan. I've learned to like my wife's team when their wins won't impact UK's successes, but there are teams we both consider unacceptable to root for under any circumstances. What teams are on your no-go list and why? Also, Haley, have you thought about how you will justify to your young son why you dressed him up in all that nasty inside of a pumpkin orange as a baby? Best regards, Matt Ripito.
Yeah.
Now, Matt Ripito is a longtime listener, but he is also a personal friend. His wife, Chrissy Ripito, used to work with Lee and I.
She actually designed our colors.
That's
she
right.
came up with the colors, yeah, the original colors.
We used to all work in local news together, and then when we launched this show, yeah, she helped us pick our colors and everything and kind of design the overall look. And so we owe a lot of our aesthetic to Chrissy. So, and they actually just they have a new baby.
They do.
Anyway.
Handsome fella.
Yeah. We have gotten questions from a lot of people who are like, so what is your son going to be a fan of, Kentucky or Tennessee? We live in Kentucky. And so we'll probably go into more Kentucky games. I'd say he'll be a Kentucky fan. Yeah. He might occasionally, if we go to a Tennessee game, might.
Nobody want to be a weirdo for.
I don't know. Now, this is hard. There are teams.
So the teams that you would never root for, and I'm going to guess, you tell me if I'm wrong, okay. Alabama. You guys hate Alabama. That's probably the arch rival.
Yeah.
Second would be Kentucky, but you're kind of caught.
See, I don't hate Kentucky as much anymore because I've lived in Kentucky.
But the fan base hates Kentucky, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's Alabama number one, maybe Kentucky number two. It feels like to me, Florida three.
Georgia's in the mix.
Oh, Georgia. Okay, Georgia's in there.
Those years for football were Georgia.
Is there anybody outside the conference you guys hate?
Not really.
Because for us, for Kentucky fans, It's Duke.
Yeah.
No way we ever root for Duke.
Absolutely not. Yeah, that's your no-go. And Louisville.
And Louisville. And, you know, because we're a basketball school.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But now you guys have risen up there. We don't like you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We've gotten better. We've gotten better.
Well, in football, too. I mean, we really desperately want to beat you guys in football because you live so close. So
now the only time I can root for some of those schools you mentioned for is if my team is already out and it's a tournament and it's
you're going to root for Duke.
Those teams. I'm saying any of the teams you mentioned for me.
Oh, Alabama
is an SEC team against a different conference.
Yeah,
if neither of my teams, being Tennessee and Kentucky, have a chance anymore, they're both knocked out. Mm-hmm. Fine, I will root for the conference. Because the better the conference, the better for all of us.
Yeah, I was okay
against a different conference. But even then, it's hard. I have to, like, wrap my head around, like, I still hate this team, but I want them to do better than this other person.
Well, it's sort of self-serving because you want your conference to be represented. So I was okay with Florida winning the national championship.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, I'd have been okay with Auburn winning.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But playing them, hate them. Hate them, hate them, hate them. Hate them all. Hate them all.
Yeah, but within the conference, it's you guys probably the most detestable. Although I will say, on a personal note, LSU fans are horrible people.
You know what? I've heard that from a lot of people. I haven't interacted with a lot of LSU fans, but I've heard from a lot of people that say, like, they're awful. And I'm like, oh.
One of the most gratifying nights of my life was when we beat them when they were ranked number one. Nick Saban was still there. 2007. They came to, at the time, Commonwealth Stadium, and they brought everybody. I must have had well over 10,000 fans there.
Wow.
But the stadium was sold out. And I and my brother sat in the LSU section somehow because they just overran it. And they were obnoxious and drunk. It was a night game, started at 7. They've been day drinking all day. They went to Keeneland, and now they're just obnoxious. They booed my old Kentucky home.
Okay, no, you can't do that.
They booed it.
You could just easily be from this state if your parents had you here.
Then, during the national anthem, they sang, like, ahead of everyone else, like a stanza ahead almost, so they could yell, "Go Tigers," as we said, "Home of the Brave."
It ain't about you. This is about our country.
Home of the Brave. Go Tigers! They're yelling, "Go Tigers," when people are singing Brave.
That's in bad taste. And, that's bad form.
In the game, LSU, I think, got ahead, but all of a sudden here comes Kentucky, and they're not going anywhere, and then they kept getting quieter and quieter and quieter. And then it goes into overtime, and then that wonderful defensive stop, because they had to score, because we did.
Yeah.
And, man, that was a good team Kentucky had.
Yeah. Wow.
And they beat number one LSU.
That's awesome. Wow. It is so gratifying. Like, one of the greatest nights of my life is when Tennessee beat Alabama in football in 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was at a wedding. I was a bridesmaid in a wedding in Tennessee. So a Saturday night, I was out of town. And so several of my friends that were there were also Tennessee fans. So we had the game pulled up on the ESPN app, sitting at the table while they're doing speeches. So we're all silent screaming.
Yeah.
When Tennessee wins. And it was just unbelievable. If I'd had a cigar, I would have smoked it. Anyway.
What are your favorite spring activities? I'm being asked.
By who?
Kelly.
Kelly. Okay, spring activities. I just love to get outside as much as I can once I get a hold of my allergies. When it really starts to switch from winter into spring, I get killed. This past like 3-4 days has been horrible for me with my allergies, but I'm finally feeling better today. And so once that happens, I just got to get outside. I love going for walks, love taking my dogs for walks, love dining al fresco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said that to my dogs the other night because I fed them on the back porch. And I said, "Do we want to dine al fresco?"
Again, I love what the lady said. She goes, "The best thing about having a dog is when I drop something on the floor, I yell, 'Housekeeping!'"
Yes. Yes. What about you? What's a spring activity you like? Baseball.
I haven't smoked in a long time. So I like a cigar outside, especially at night.
Smoking a cigar. Yes, yes, yes. At like your favorite cigar bar, Jake's Cigar Bar.
Or wherever.
Anywhere. It could be a patio. Yeah.
If you can only get your clothes from one store for the rest of your life, where would it be? That's easy. Express for me. Because I could go casual or I could go fancy. Even athletic.
Ooh, that's tough for me.
Lane
you know
Bryant.
What I'm going to say? Listen. Okay.
Where would it be? I was just guessing. I don't know.
Oh, you were just guessing? I'm trying to think of a store that would have my cozy clothes that I want.
Cozy
and clothes. Also like dressier clothes. So what I'm going to say here is the newly revamped Abercrombie. Like this sweatshirt is Abercrombie?
Oh, it is. When I think of Abercrombie, though, I think
it's Abercrombie, not Abercrombie.
Whatever.
Abercrombie is a girl from your school.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget
Abercrombie
that night.
Has completely changed the game.
Well, they didn't want to go to prison.
Yeah, they got some dodgy history there. But they've revamped. They're no longer just appealing. Like when I was younger, it was appealing to middle school and high school kids. Like that was the whole clientele. Now it's adults and they have more like work clothes and they're cozy clothes.
But there's not. See, but I.
So I could wear work clothes and casual.
Kelly asked a great question. And I fulfilled the answer for her. Express. I get everything from there.
Okay, so I said the same thing. Abercrombie.
You just said cozy. What? How are you going to go to a fancy party from Abercrombie?
They have dress clothes. Did you not just hear me say that?
No. What time of day would you be? This sounds like a beauty pageant question. Actually, Bridget asked that question, by the way. This question is from Kelly. And this is more of a Kelly question. What time of day would you be?
My dream would be to be golden hour. But I don't think anyone would say that about me. I'm a little too frantic.
No, you're like 2 a.m.
2 a.m. I'm the witching hour.
Yeah, like why are we up?
You're a 4 a.m. rush to the bathroom because you got to pee. You're a panic.
No, when am I panic?
No, you're blue dark.
Blue dark.
That's what we call it as kids, when it was getting dark outside, but not black dark outside, when the sky was just kind of a deep blue.
Yes.
You have a very calming, no worries energy. And at that time, it's like the day is closing. We can all relax, light that cigar on the
patio. Fireworks are about to go off.
And I'm about to show out.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like a 10 p.m.
Yeah, I don't think I'm calming in any way. I'm not calming to myself. I'm not calming to others. I'm pretty frantic at all times. So yeah, I'd say I'm a 2 a.m. 3 a.m. witching hour vibe.
Nua wants to know, what are you brand loyal to and why?
Ooh. Okay.
Right now I'm brand loyal to my automobile, the Mercedes. I have no issues ever with those guys.
Yeah.
I've had other vehicles.
And you've had issues.
And not all of them, but a lot of them I have had issues.
I am brand loyal to Victoria's Secret bras.
Me too.
Like, I'll get underwear from Target. I'll get underwear from Amazon. I don't care about that. It's the bras. They just fit me the best. They last a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been buying the same bra. I bet I bought the same bra 10, 15 times in my life.
If I want a home-cooked meal, I'm brand loyal to Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Brand loyal. I use Maybelline black felt tip liquid eyeliner. Been using it for years. It's the best. It's a drugstore one, and it's better than any of the $30 eyeliners I've used from Sephora. Maybelline Master Precise black liquid eyeliner felt tip.
I should be brand loyal because nothing feels better as far as an underwear than Psycho Bunny. I forgot about that.
I've heard you talk about this.
But I recently got a care package. And Psycho Bunny underwear was in there.
And you thought, welcome home,
my
darling.
I missed those.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to my Psycho Bunny boxer briefs.
Okay.
They feel amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just a couple of things. Wow, that's a good question. Because a lot of times, yeah, you'll shuffle between different brands of different things. Like, oh, I need this. But... okay.
Now, you're also brand loyal to the Nazi Party.
Yes, of course.
I knew that about you.
Yes,
that was fascinating when I learned that.
Yeah, and I was nervous to tell you, but I thought you were a safe space.
Yes.
Lee makes that joke about every 3 months and likes to just make people think that I'm a Nazi. And just for the last time, I'm not, okay? Until Lee says it again. Does that really get you?
Oh, I love it so much.
You are loyal to the Nazi Party. God in heaven. How are those guys? Our membership's been down.
They're dead.
Good.
We killed them.
All right, that's all the time we've got. I got to get out of this
sweat lodge
of a studio.
You are acting like you've got an enlarged prostate.
I do have to go tinkle.
Yes.
But I always do at this point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then.
What's your excuse?
Enlarged prostate, I assume.
Yeah, probably.
Scar tissue. All of that.
Sure. Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening. If you saw on the show last week about my pregnancy announcement and you commented on Facebook, I've been blown away by the comments and everything. So thank you. Thank you so much for all the love and support. It means the absolute world. And thank you for watching the show and listening to this podcast. Listening, rate, review, subscribe. It really helps our numbers. And yeah, thank you so much.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
We love you. God loves you. Hang in there. Bye.